Shannon West.
And we're here on Christmas Eve. We're excited to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Yes, definitely. It's a stressful time of year, but we hope that you can take some time for yourself and reflect on the season and start a new year in a non-stressful manner.
Well, and really for us, we love this time of year because we like to focus when it comes to Christmas just really on Christ's birth, you know, and just rejoicing with that.
Yes, definitely. And I know that today is a day that many, many, many families go to church. They plan that in their day for Christmas Eve. That is a planned activity. And we hope that you embrace that and then possibly continue that into your
new year.
New year.
Yes. You know, and to really, you know, find that time to really enjoy family and friends. You know, we at least get the excitement of Christmas with our younger's nephews and nieces. Our boys are older now, and so it's not as much excitement with the Santa Claus.
Yes, yes, but we get to see that with our younger cousins. Our nieces and nephews.
Our children's cousins.
So,
And today, we wanted to, you know, stress that a little bit. But really what we came about, we wanted to talk what is normal.
Right, right. So I think that's a question that people ask themselves a lot, but they never really get an answer to. I didn't realize that for years and years and years, I was constantly in my head trying to figure out what normal was.
Yes, from everywhere. What's normal with Christmas? What's, you know, what you get married and all of a sudden what's normal, Shannon, with you and your family versus me and my family?
Right.
And then we're blending them together.
Exactly. And then also, I mean, even down to like after we got married, where we were going to live. You know, we lived in a garage apartment. And all our friends were...
Wait a minute. Garage apartment? It was a nice garage.
Well, okay. It was a 6-car garage, but...
Yes. It was a great garage.
But our ceiling was still vaulted, and we had to, like, scoot in so we didn't hit our head on the ceiling.
Well, luckily, I'm vertically challenged.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so it didn't affect me too much.
It was good for
much.
Short people.
Yes.
But, you know, I didn't realize that I struggled with what is normal then, but I remember thinking... Is this normal to live above a garage?
And I'm wondering how many people ask that question. You know, is this normal? We tend to ask that question to ourselves all the time. I like what you're saying, Shannon, is we do ask ourselves that question.
Right, right. And I, you know, and then we went on through marriage, and I constantly would question what was normal, but I didn't even realize that I was questioning that. I wanted to take stressors out of my life, and so I would turn to what is normal. I would think, okay, if I just do what's normal, then I'm not going to be stressed out or, you know, or feel strange. And so...
But right there, it's like, what is normal? I like what you're saying, is you're asking yourself the question. And so what do we tend to do? We tend to compare ourselves.
Yes, exactly. Like, okay, well, so it's normal to buy a house and when you first get married. I thought that was normal.
Yes.
But it was not normal for us.
No. We lived in the 6-car garage.
Yes.
And every
not
now
in the 6-car garage. Above.
Above the 6-car garage.
Yes.
In front of this multi-million-dollar
mansion. Well, our address was very swanky.
It was. And when the family was out of town, we'd go pretend and order like pizza or to go food, and we'd get to be in the main house.
Right. And answer the door.
As this young 20-something year old.
But I, you know, I eventually asked you, I mean, even after kids, I said, put your counseling hat on and tell me, what is the definition of normal?
Well, one of my favorite definitions of normal, I love that question, is a buddy of mine out of California, a psychologist. What he said, his name's Jerry Brown, you know, normal is just what the majority does. You know, I like that.
Around you.
Yes, around you. It's just what the majority does. You know, and so when you have that normal, it's your phone. Mine's off.
Sorry.
You know, she's getting mad at me right now. You know, I'm the no filter, but all of a sudden I did have a filter here.
Yes, okay.
You did not have a filter.
I'm sorry. Okay, so normal is defined by some as what the majority of people around you are doing, what they're doing.
Yeah, what the people around you are doing, or what the majority is doing, you know, when it comes to any kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, and so it, lots of times you start to raise kids and they're in high school and stuff like that. The majority of your kids' friends might be drinking. That's normal.
Right, right. It's normal. And so...
But that does not mean what?
That it's healthy.
Exactly. So you were listening. Wow. You know, lots of times being married a long time to Shannon, I get this sense that she's not listening to
me. Well, when you're talking ad nauseum about labels and, you know, counseling and things like that, you know, I lose it sometimes.
Yeah, or you just, maybe you are listening, but it just doesn't appear that way.
Right, right. So when I was questioning what was normal, it was after having kids and going through the entire conversation of like, is it normal to send your kids to the public school down the street? Or is it normal to go to private school? Or, you know, is it normal to have your kid pull a little girl's hair in preschool? Because that's what Travis did. Because I think he loved girls' hair. He thought it was beautiful, and he would pull it, and then he would get in trouble, and I was like, oh my gosh, is he normal? Is he going to ever be normal? But then it's like, what is normal? So it's whatever everybody's doing around you, but...
That does not mean, though, once again...
It doesn't mean it's healthy.
Yes. And all of a sudden, we start to think, I like what you were saying earlier, we start to think we're weird if we're not doing what the majority's doing.
Right. Well, I said that earlier between you and I, that the opposite of normal. What's the opposite of normal?
You said weird. I like that.
I said weird, yes. Because...
And I love that definition.
Well, everybody wants to be normal. They don't want to be weird.
Because if we go back to our last episode, we're going to have feelings if we're weird.
Right.
And we try to cover up those feelings.
Yes, yes. And so... After I had our second child, I remember my anxiety was kind of kicked up. And I would wonder if that was normal because I didn't really talk to other moms around me or anything like that. But
and how come you didn't talk to other moms? See, that's the question.
Because I didn't want to be weird.
Exactly. And so you kept it all inside.
Yes. I wanted to be normal. And I just wanted my house to be normal, too. I wanted my mothering to be normal. I wanted my... wifing to be normal. I just wanted my life to be normal. And
pause for a second. This reminds me of just with our kids, you know, our oldest 19, when he was 2 in our first house.
Yes.
You know, what did he do with the hose?
So he was outside playing and he took,
and it was what time of year? It was right about now.
Well, that was our second.
But it was still right around the same time.
The Christmas tree was not up.
No.
The first time. Okay, so our 2-year-old took the hose and put it in through our mail slot, because we had a mail slot that came inside the house, put it through the mail slot, and then walked over and turned the hose on. So it was flooding the living room. And
what were you feeling? What was going on with you?
Well, I was mad, and I was also thinking that he, you know, was a behavioral issue.
Yes. And like, and what did you do? You called me and you wanted me to get home quickly.
Yes, yes. I pulled the hose out. I looked at him. It was clear that he couldn't put together the consequences of his actions. He was like...
He was 2.
I know. But, you know, everything he did, he was kind of a naughty toddler. He was.
But at the same time, it was, you know, when you look at normal... He was active. He was always exploring.
Yes,
he was doing stuff.
Curious.
It made sense to him.
Yes, curious about his surroundings. But everyone else was able to take their toddler to a restaurant and sit. And, you know, Travis didn't want a high chair.
Who was everybody else?
Well, everybody else that was around me.
Yes, so you thought they could do that.
Yes. So yeah. I felt lonely.
Yes.
I felt lonely in mothering, which I now think that a lot of people feel very lonely in mothering.
Because if they share that their toddler just stuck the hose, you know, in there, there's this almost sense of, hey, people are going to judge me.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to be weird, and I'm going to be outcast, and no one's going to invite us over to play, and, you know.
So you kept it all inside.
Yes, and then I'll never forget that my anxiety presented in a way that was kind of funny when I thought I was losing my mind was that I had some clothes to return to the Gap, okay, of all places. I mean, it wasn't like the they were these high-dollar items that needed to be returned immediately, but I remember waking up in the middle of the night and thinking, why on earth is the Gap not open like 24 hours a day so that people like me, when I have free time, I have free time at midnight.
Yes.
I can go return. I can knock this off my
list.
Your
husband's home. He can take care of the kid.
Yes. You know. Why is that not normal? Why is that not normal that the Gap is not? And then I realized, okay, that's not normal. That's not healthy.
But I love how you're asking, you know, throughout this whole process, you're asking yourself, okay, why is this not normal? You're asking yourself, I want to be normal. You know, I don't feel normal,
yeah.
You know, because I'm going to be weird.
And then what is normal anyway?
Yes.
I mean, it's making me crazy. The whole thing makes me crazy. And so then that's when I made a decision to be weird.
Yes. But, or really what I like to say, I love your
healthy
definition. No, I love your definition of, you know, the opposite of normal is weird. I like the opposite of normal being abnormal.
Yes.
It's truly abnormal, but we don't want to be abnormal.
Right. Nobody wants to.
No. And so then fast forward, our boys are 4 years apart. So when our oldest was two and stuck the hose in the...
Beck wasn't even around.
He wasn't even thought of yet.
Right.
So fast forward 4 years, we have another two-year-old.
And we have the Christmas tree up and presents under the tree. And Travis comes running into my bedroom or the kitchen or whatever and says, oh my gosh, Mom, Beck has the hose in the house. And I walked into the living room and he had it like a lasso. It was on. And he is swinging it around like a lasso. And I was like, my kids are so weird. They are born this way. It must be you.
Yes, you blamed me.
I did, yes, the genetic mashup that happened.
Yes, and all of a sudden it was my fault.
Yes.
You call me on the phone. I'm down at my old sober living house.
Yes.
You know, I find a good, what was normal for me was to come up with an excuse why not to come home at that moment.
Yes, yes.
You know, I did not want to experience the wrath of Shannon.
Yes.
Let her calm down a little bit.
Yes, and both of our kids have run naked down various neighborhoods too.
Yes.
At a young age. Not now.
But when they were 2-4 years old.
Yes. So I had trouble with figuring out what was normal.
Yes. And so you didn't want to be weird.
Yes.
By any means. Yeah, that is, you know, that's that common thing. And so what we're trying to discuss is, okay, it's all right to be weird.
Yes.
It's all right to be abnormal.
And if you can realize that you don't have to do what everyone around you is doing if it is not healthy for you or doesn't fit into your life or your
framework.
You know, if you try to shove yourself, it's like putting, you know, a square in a circle or whatever.
A square peg in a round circle.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's like trying to fit that in. If you're looking at the majority and that doesn't fit for you, but you're still trying to do it, that's going to make you depressed. It's going to stress you out. It's going to, I mean, it did.
Well, and so pause for a second. Let me ask you this question just about our relationship and stuff like that. I mean, I was not your normal boyfriend.
No.
You know, I was not anything normal in the sense you're, you know, 22 years old when we met.
Yes.
You know, I was sober.
Yes.
So most of the guys that you hung out with, girls, who did everybody you ran with drink?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
We were all of age and living in Dallas as
just out of college,
young professionals. We all wanted to be normal. We all wanted good jobs. We all wanted to talk about our jobs, and none of us really had great jobs. But
No, not at all.
Especially when we graduated from college. It wasn't.
I remember one of your good friends that I'm friends with was selling Snapple.
Yes.
Yes.
Crapple. Yeah. They called it Crapple. Yes. I mean, I don't mean that. For Snapple is wonderful. Not that we have a big enough audience to make a difference on ragging on Snapple. But
you can forget about having them as a sponsor.
Yeah, exactly. But what I was saying
is I was not your normal, you know, 23-year-old man. I was sober. I was passionate about sobriety. You know, I was living that out.
You were named Chico.
I was named Chico. You know, and so that when I say it's like, but it yet you were wrestling. You, I love how you're sharing this. You're wrestling with, okay, I don't want to be weird, but I did kind of marry someone that's a little weird. That's a little out there.
Yes. But, you know, you have desires to be normal, too.
Oh, I know I do. But at the same time, I rebel. I want to be the no filter, but then I want to be filtered.
Well, you want to be weird.
I want to be weird. Yes.
Which is a struggle for me, too, because I want to be normal. And so when you want to be weird and I want to be normal, I have to, I mean, after 23 years, I finally learned how to reel you back in from too weird.
Have you done a good job with that?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. How do you tend to reel me back in? I'm interested in this. Maybe because I want to maybe change up how I am
so you can't reel me in. No, I mean, I'm trying to think of a specific example, but like when you want to, I mean, we can go back to even the trophies, you know, when you wanted to give out, you didn't want to give trophies to the little 4-year-olds because they weren't any good. And,
yeah, if you go back and watch our last episode,
I would talk you through maybe you don't want to be weird in that way. Like, it's normal right now in today's society. It's normal for everybody to get a trophy when they're 4 and they look forward to that and all that kind of stuff. But
at the same time, we're starting to see more and more evidence that it's really not that healthy for this generation.
I agree. Okay, I'll use an example that backfired for me is the cell phones for our kids. When Travis was in elementary school and kids started getting cell phones, you said, my child will not have a cell phone until high school, period. And you put your foot down and then you couldn't pick it back up because...
I have this belief, you know, going back to the fact that it's Christmas, is I really have this conviction that I want my yes to be yes and my no, no.
Right. And so... You made that statement to Travis, and then you had to stick by it. We had to stick by it, even though it was weird. Everybody's, I think, 5th grade is when everybody started getting phones. And
not everybody. A lot of people started.
But it was normal.
Grade. Yes, it was
so normal.
But then when he went to junior high, 6th grade, most of his friends, and then even the kids that are just in his school, you know, had cell phones.
It was completely normal. It was weird that Travis did not have a phone.
Oh.
And parents, and then it goes back to the feelings. Parents had all this fear. They're like, how do you not have a cell phone? What if you can't get in touch with him? What if he can't get in touch with you? You know, what if he doesn't have a ride home from school? And I take that back. Once was I not able to get in touch with him, and it was in, I think, 8th grade, and I dropped him off at a basketball practice at St. John's Episcopal School on a Saturday or Sunday. And practice actually wasn't at St. John's. It was across the street at Dallas Academy or whatever. And so that's across Buckner, like a really busy street. He wasn't going to walk over there. But all of a sudden, I got a strange call. I didn't recognize the phone number. I answered it on my cell phone, and it was Travis. He had found a janitor in the building to let him use a phone there. So that was my first idea of like, oh my gosh, I dropped him off in the wrong place. And I had this fear about what could have happened to him and he would have been alone. But then I also was so encouraged because it taught him resourcefulness. He was very resourceful.
Big time. But see, so back up. So yes, I stuck my foot down, you know, and I said, hey, my boys are not getting a phone until they're in high school.
Yeah.
And so after, you know, the summer after his 7th grade year.
Yes.
His birthday.
Yes.
And we're with friends and all that. And share that story.
Well, we were in California with our friends that we're always with. And they were all like, I can't believe you're not going, you know, to get him a phone right now. I mean, this is crazy. It's his birthday. It's the perfect birthday gift because what do you really get a middle school student, you know?
And there's several families. It's not just, you know, our family, you know, our best friends here in Dallas with their three kids that are all Travis's age. There's a couple other families that have kids all Travis's age.
Yes, yes. And they were all like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. You've got to get him a phone. You got to get him a phone. And
we sometimes call
I almost caved.
But we sometimes call that the beatdown.
Yeah, the beatdown.
You know, so our friends' kids were beating us down. And then.
And I almost caved. I almost caved. And you said no. And so we didn't. And as middle school went on, Travis actually went from, I'm so weird without a phone. I'm so weird without a phone, to, I really want a phone because everybody has a phone, but I don't like all the drama that, because they did get eye touches, which is what a lot of parents and friends say to me. Well, they had an eye touch, they could text and they could get apps and all that stuff. And I said, only with Wi-Fi. Travis in seventh grade would get home from school and his eye touch would blow up because he would get the Wi-Fi. And people were mad at him. Like, why haven't you gotten back to me? Why haven't you gotten back to me? And it was so stressful for him. He said, forget it. I don't even.
Yeah, like the ding. It would ding.
Yes, yes.
You know, everybody.
I remember he came to me and he said, Mom, what do I do with this? It said, hi, how are you? What are you doing? What are you doing? Why aren't you responding? Well, you must not like me. Well, you're a jerk. Like, and he wouldn't even know that these had come in until they all came in at once, and he would read through them, and he would start with, hi, how are you, to, you're a complete jerk. You're not getting back to me.
But back up to that, you know, after seventh grade, right before eighth grade, we're in California with our friends, and, you know, the normal thing would have been to get him the phone.
Yes.
You know, and you and I had a conversation, and we're sitting there, and I'm going, Shannon, no, and some of the what we've done in parenting is it worked out, you know, just by having.
We call it accidental parenting.
Yes.
Accidental parenting, because we certainly didn't. We cannot take credit for planning that. I mean.
I want to take a little credit because.
I know you do.
But not because of me, because, you know, I had this structured sober living home and I saw these guys that were a little older than Travis, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, yeah. And we would take away their phone and all of a sudden they started to engage and have community and stuff like that. It's like I had this experience of working with these young men that were struggling with addiction.
Yes.
You know, our kid didn't struggle with addiction, but it just, you saw him start to connect.
Yes.
When we disconnected them.
Yes. And it but I call it accidental parenting because I don't think we planned on the outcome of that to be that he now looks adults in the eyes and really engages with adults and everything else like that, because he wasn't when we were out with other adults at a young age, at 13, 14, 15, he wasn't on his phone because he didn't have one. I mean, he had the eye touch, but he didn't have Wi-Fi. So a normal dinner for us didn't include phones, which is accidental.
Yes.
Because now they do. Now the four of us go to dinner, and now that they're in college and high school and everybody has a phone,
yes,
we're all on our phones. I mean, so we, you know, we have to take ownership of that. But I do think that the decision to be weird in that circumstance has paid off.
Hundredfold. It gave our kids permission that it was all right to be weird. You didn't have to be like everybody else.
Right. But they didn't like it. They didn't go into that. Like,
well, who likes being weird?
No, I know.
Right. You know, I mean, every now and then I do. I'll admit it. But it's really maybe more to get a rise out of someone.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. I mean, and some of that is just, you know, my old, you know, personality right there.
Yes. Yes. And that's when I sometimes have to say, okay, are you sure you want to approach this situation this weirdly? Can you just be normal?
Well, and that's why you're
for a half a second.
That's why you're my filter.
I know.
I mean, it definitely helps having Shannon as my filter.
And I think that when normal is healthy, then that's a good thing. When normal is not healthy,
I don't know if I would buy that.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
Because I think a healthy normal leads to thriving and joy and, you know, life, living life to its fullest. And I think an unhealthy normal leads to codependency or possibly addiction. Okay, I can track with that.
I don't want to get into semantics and wordplay. I would talk more about, you know, what's healthy versus unhealthy. Normal becomes more unhealthy.
Right.
So I don't know if there's, maybe I can wrap my head around that there's normal healthy, but I'm not sure.
Well, okay, maybe if you are healthy.
Yes.
Okay, if you're healthy, then maybe it can be your normal.
It could be your normal, but I don't know if we can get maybe stuck on the word normal because
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that we're all striving to be normal. When, you know, what's normal here in Dallas, Texas versus what's normal in Brazil is you know,
completely
polar opposites.
Different. Even in Seattle, Washington.
Yes. I mean, there, here within our country or even here in our city, you know, so normal for us is real abnormal. And so that's, yeah. So what we're hope is just really healthy and unhealthy. Healthy doesn't mean that you're not going to have struggles, you know, that things aren't going to feel weird. You know, you're not going to be lonely. Yes, you might be lonely, but we can work through that loneliness.
Right, right.
You know, so this accidental parenting, you know, with our boys not having phones, that's one thing. You know, another thing that becomes real normal, especially for, you know, us as parents, is, you know, on this thing is to track your kids.
Right.
That becomes very normal.
Yes.
We choose.
I don't do that because I don't know how to.
Well, and also we choose not to. We could figure it out.
We could, except that also Travis, since we waited until high school to get cell phones, we allowed our children to pick their phone. Okay. So, you know, whereas everybody in fifth grade is getting a flip phone, you know, or whatever, but.
No, an iPhone.
Well, anyway, but we allowed them to pick their phone, and Travis is so tech savvy that he picked a Samsung when we all had Apple phones
because
we couldn't track him.
But I think he saw his parent, he saw his friend's parents track him.
Yes.
And I think he did that believing that we were going to be like his friend's parents.
Right, right.
You know, and so we have friends that track their kids that are in college, that are getting ready to get out of college. You know, that's their normal. We're not saying right, wrong, good, bad.
Right. I mean, I definitely don't want to, I would never throw out a judgment card with parents because, you know, they do what they have to do. It would personally cause me anxiety.
And that's what I tell people.
That would be unhealthy
I get obsessive. If I had the ability to, if I chose to track my kids, I'd be looking all the time. So part of the accidental parenting is I know that I don't want to be tracking them.
Right, right. And I think it makes them more resourceful too. I mean, if it, you know.
What, and I believe.
What can I do? What can I do if Travis is in Austin, Texas, and I don't know where, but I.
Well, that's our deal is if we go back to our first episode, really, I mean, Shannon, I think a lot of it is I don't want to add more fear because I do struggle with fear, you know, and if I'm tracking my son and he's not where I think he is, you know, it's just going to create more fear in me. And I'm really, in a lot of ways, powerless over that. Yes, right. I can call him, you know, so I'm trying to, we're trying to eliminate some of those fears that are out of our control.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is where the birth of Jesus comes in. Thank God, literally, that Jesus came tomorrow.
Oh, my
happy
goodness.
Birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
You know, that's what God did for us. You know, he really gave us that gift that gives us that ability to really connect and really, address those fears, address those insecurities.
Right.
You know, give us that ability to trust in him. You know, that's where we get excited.
Yeah.
You know, we get excited that about those things. You know, so and that's one of those other things we love to see when people are, you know, and then you could define what's healthy and unhealthy.
Right. Yes. You know,
I mean, because sometimes it's like,
because the goal is to be healthy. Everybody wants to be healthy. Okay. Just like everybody wants to be normal, but you can't really define normal. It's really hard to define normal. You can kind of define healthy and unhealthy, correct? I mean,
you can define healthy and unhealthy, you know, but at the same time, you can also define, okay, normal versus abnormal. It was abnormal for us to not give our kids phones.
Right.
You know, if you look at our community, it's abnormal for us not to track our kids.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, we, you know, that's where we trust, you know, we have a relationship with the Lord and we're trusting Him. That doesn't mean we don't have fear.
And it doesn't mean that our kids are perfectly well-adjusted and wonderful.
No.
You know what I mean?
Not at all.
I don't want anyone to hear what we're saying about the choices that we make and that, you know, it is about us trying to be healthy in order for our kids to be the healthiest that they can be. But this does not, there is no perfection.
There is no perfection. There's only one perfect father, and that was the Lord that gave His Son.
Right.
You know, for
us. So there is no perfect, I don't want anyone to ever listen to us and think,
oh, we got it all together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they made all these decisions and wow, their kids are great. But little do they know. And see, this is where I get into pleasing the masses
yes.
and wanting to feel normal is that I'm like, you know, who's listening to this and going, well, I saw, you know, so-and-so, I saw their kids, you know, shooting off fireworks in the neighborhood. That hadn't happened. But, you know.
Well, I love the fact.
Or whatever, just, you know, just getting in trouble, being naughty, being kids.
What, and I love the fact kind of to wrap it up today is I like that you went to a party, you know, the other night and, you know, this woman came in thinking you were the person having the house.
No, she thought it was my house hosting,
She thought it was your house hosting. Yes. And she starts sharing with you and she says that her daughter goes to Ursuline and is a freshman.
Yeah.
And so then what happened?
You don't need to share so many details, but... Anyway, yeah, I said, oh, yeah, my son has a lot of friends that are, you know, freshmen.
And he's a freshman.
Yeah, he's a freshman, and he has lots of friends. And I hate to out him on this story, but I think he'll think it's funny. But so I said Beck West, and I guess she didn't hear me saying, you know, leading up to that. And I said something like Beck West, and she goes, oh, yeah, Beck West. Is he a good kid or a bad kid? And I go, well, he's my kid. And she goes, what? Oh, wait, what?
She starts backpedaling.
Well, she goes, I thought this was your house. This is not your house, you know?
And
I go, no, this is not my house. And I go, but, you know, I mean.
But right there, the normal thing would be to take it on.
Well, I used to be like, oh, my God, what did he do? All right. Yes.
And then she would throw. Then you would
throw
him
under the bus.
You know, just kind of was your defense mechanism.
It was because I wanted to create a T-shirt. OK, we can wrap it up this way. OK, with my anxiety and my normal, I wanted to create a T-shirt that said, I'm aware of it. I don't approve of it. And I'm working on it.
Yeah. That is a great T-shirt.
Okay, because both of my boys have given me a run for my money in different areas of life, different aspects.
But
whatever.
The good thing the other night when that woman said that, well, he's my son, is you didn't take it on. You didn't bring it home with you in the past. You know, you didn't start.
In fact, I shared it with Beck, and I was like, you know.
Yeah,
but it's
funny because you could step back and you recognize that was just that woman's just kind of shtick, you know, just
feeling it out. Yeah, she's trying to protect her children.
Yes.
And whatever. But I just always wanted people to know I was aware of it. And I would really try to show people that I knew about it. Like, I know what they're doing. And so you don't need to tell me or you don't need to talk about me behind my back. I didn't want people talking about me behind my back.
Yeah.
Or talking about my kids.
And and the deal is you did something different.
Yes.
You know, that was abnormal to your normal.
Well, I've changed my behavior, my response.
Yes. And you didn't take it on. You didn't wear it, you know.
So it's changing your response.
Exactly.
Getting healthy. Anyway.
You know, as we kind of wrap up today.
So here we go, being weird. We're going to continue to be weird.
Yes. And so right. here we go, wrapping up today is like, I love the other night we were at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
And someone asked us, hey, what is your favorite? We want to end with this. What is your favorite kind of holiday, you know, what was it? Randy asked
memory
us that.
Or
no, thing you do.
Thing you do.
Thing you do as yes. a family.
Yes.
You know, ours is tomorrow night, we're going to go eat at Mi Tierra's here in San Antonio yep. with my family on yeah. Christmas night.
So great. So fun. Yeah. So great.
That's ours. So think about that. And until next time, we're out of here.
Yeah.